Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We are in chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. This is God's word. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up. For I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, "I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed," he said. "Peace. Be strong now. Be strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength." So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In chapter 10 and the first verse of chapter 11, which we just read, you have an introduction to the remaining chapters in the book of Daniel. And in those chapters, God outlines through his angelic messenger what is going to take place, not just in Daniel's lifetime, not just in the generations that follow, but ultimately all the way to the end of history. There are various, as we've said before in the chapters leading up to this, there are various interpretations about end time prophecy. And I'm not going to try and indoctrinate you with a particular view of eschatology. You're welcome if you want to know more about that. I can recommend some wonderful sources, and you can read this guy and say, okay, that explains it. But then I'll want you to read this guy, and you say, oh, well, that explains it another way. And that's fine. But what I want you to see this morning in that run-up to what the angelic messenger tells him concerning the future is what the angelic messenger tells him concerning what is happening then in Daniel's day and now and has all through the history of man. If you want to takeaway slogan, the main point of today's message, always remember that there is a lot more going on than what we can see. There's a lot more going on than we can see. Jesus in John chapter 3 speaks of the way that the new birth happens. He says that you can't see the wind, you only see the effects. And it is that way with the Holy Spirit. You can't see the Holy Spirit working, though he did at times in Scripture manifest himself as a cloud of light or a cloud of fire or as a dove that descended upon Jesus at his baptism or as flames of fire that came to rest over the heads of those on the day of Pentecost, who were being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But in terms of how he works throughout history, we see the effects. But the word for spirit is the same as the word for wind and the same as the word for breath. So there are also many spirit beings that you and I can't see, but they are active. And what is happening in that spirit realm has a profound impact on the things that we do see. If you look at what has happened in recent world history, I mean, you can go all the way back, but if you just look at what's happened in the last decade, there are demonic forces that are at work in this land and around the world, setting us up for the time when there will be a one-world government, one-world economy, and when individual religious views will have to be set aside in order that we might have unity. And there are prominent religious leaders, including the current Pope, who are working on this to try and make it so that folks can all just come together and we can be at peace. Let me tell you something. What we see in the news and what we see in the culture around us is not simply a sociological phenomenon. It is a spiritual manifestation. If you look at what happened to child abuse in 1973, when the Supreme Court ruled in 73 that it was legal in all 50 states, they overturned the laws of many states and said it was legal to go into the mother's womb and rip a child limb from limb, crushing its skull, snapping its spine, dismembering it in the womb, and pulling it out. When the Supreme Court, the highest court in this land, said, that's the new rule, child abuse skyrocketed. Not just the abuse of abortion, which is the ultimate abuse, but children who had been born began being treated with far greater violence than had been in the previous decades. Why? Because what happened wasn't just sociological. There were demons unleashed. That was the same year that the American Psychological Association decided that, you know, we've always said that homosexual behavior is a disorder. It's not the way things are supposed to be. But we were wrong. It's fine. It's normal. Okay? Because there are, and have been down through history, various people who were inclined that way and behaved that way. And so we're going to stop saying that that's abnormal. Well, that makes great sense. Kind of like saying that cancer is not abnormal, because there have been, down through the ages, people who get cancer. Not everybody gets cancer, but a certain percentage of the population gets cancer, and that's just, it's a normal thing, okay? So I think we need to stop calling that some sort of sickness, as if there's, you know, we need to do something to try and help these people. Instead, we just need to encourage people, hey, you know, if you've got a tumor, just accept that as normal. Guess what? It's sickness. It's sin sickness. But our culture in 1973 made a huge turn. And if you think that was just an interesting coincidence, you're wrong. Spiritual forces were at work, and lies from the father of lies became dominant among America's elite within the power structures. So, this Prince of Persia thing, I mean, what do we get from that? Well, first of all, this angelic being that Daniel sees is so overwhelmingly different and brilliant and powerful that Daniel is terrified. Absolutely terrified. And the angel is telling him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you and I could see the reality of what is going on around us all the time, we'd be overwhelmed. We'd be overwhelmed. We'd be like Daniel. We can't get up off the ground. We're just totally helpless, wiped out, because what we would see would be so overwhelming. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're told that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. What's that talking about? It's talking about the fact that there are various realms of demonic beings who are at war against us. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, against people. I think it's that other party. It's that awful party, political party. And I say we got to stand against them. Well, without naming them, I'll tell you they are hideous. A pack of liars and crooks, And I have zero, zero, zero respect for people that are pathological liars, no matter what political party they're in. But that's not the enemy. There are spiritual beings that have intelligence, that have power, that have a lot of experience, and they manipulate people and cultures and world events. And if you and I want to be victorious, we are told how to be victorious in the scripture. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to take your stand against the forces of darkness. All of the armor listed in Ephesians 6 is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's all in him. He is our peace. He is our righteousness. He is our salvation. And he is the living word of God. Everything that we need is found in him. Therefore, having itemized the armor in Ephesians 6, we're told in another one of Paul's letters, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Find your identity in him. Find your refuge in him. Find your strength in him. He is the one who saves. He is the one who changes us from the inside out so that while the world is plunging down the broad road to destruction, you and I are going against the traffic on a narrow way because we are not destined for wrath.
Psalm 145 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Have you heard about Legacy 145? This program gives you an opportunity to provide a safe haven for future generations of children at Ware's Valley Ranch. While at the ranch, children from all across the country have their practical needs met. But most importantly, they hear about a Heavenly Father who loves them so much that he sent his only Son to die on the cross to pay for their sins. Healing and hope are found at the ranch through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your legacy can continue that message to children in crisis. You can learn more at wvr.org. Click on the Legacy 145 button. That's wvr.org and click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. God bless you, and have a great day.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. Daniel sees this amazing being. And fell to the ground, terrified. I was left alone gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left, verse 8. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. I just want to ask you a question. Is it possible that sometimes as we study God's word, we would end up feeling worse instead of better? Is your devotional life designed to just give you happy, peppy, snappy slogans? Okay? Yesterday, a parishioner gave my wife and me a box of chocolates. I gained 2 pounds. Isn't that sad? I mean, you know, I didn't eat the whole box. They were only about this big around. Okay? And I only ate 4 pieces. But man, when that sugar gets in me, it's like, yes! takes over, and I, it's all right. I'm going to drop those pounds today. But here's the thing. You and I, sometimes when we go to God's Word, are just looking for a little bite of chocolate. We don't want real nutrition. It's okay to have a piece of chocolate sometimes. But if you try and live on chocolate candy, you're going to be sick. I mean, never mind fat. You're going to be sick. It's not what your body needs. Well, I heard that chocolate is good for you. Dark chocolate is good for you in moderation. It is. Brazil nuts are good for you. Unless you eat too many. Brazil nuts are toxic if you eat too many. Wow, I thought nuts were healthy. They are. But you need to know how many of which nuts to eat. You and I need to go to the whole of God's Word. And sometimes as we are studying the Scriptures, God will reveal things to us that are in His Word. It'll make us feel crummy. I'll tell you, the main time that happens to me is when I see what God says about what He desires and I realize how miserably short I fall of that goal. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But sometimes we read something that causes us to realize we didn't just miss it by a little. And it's like Isaiah saying, woe is me, I am undone. You see, if we really believe what God says, the consequence will be that we will realize how desperately we need a Savior. Which, as we then look to Jesus as our Savior, will move us from sorrow to overwhelming joy and gratitude. But if you just try and focus on the happy thoughts, you're going to miss some of the most important things that God has in order to grow you into the person He wants you to be. Because Jesus, you say, well, I just want to look at Jesus. Okay, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Well, not that Jesus. Okay. I was thinking, you know, the little baby in the manger that never cries. Okay? That's not in the Bible. It does too say he was placed in the manger. Yeah, but it doesn't say he didn't cry. That was written into a Christmas song by somebody who was tired of hearing his child crying, no doubt. No. Jesus didn't cry. Now be quiet. Okay? I'm telling you, this passage gives us a glimpse of something that most of us are oblivious to. We simply ignore the reality of what is described here. And the reality is that there is spiritual warfare going on all the time. And there are angels fighting demons all the time. And it has an impact on human history all the time. And you and I can behave like a bunch of little hamsters down here, clueless, or we can study the Scriptures and begin to understand that this warfare involves us because those evil forces are arrayed against us and our only hope is in Christ Jesus. But in Christ Jesus, we have the victory. If you know that, and you stand in Christ against the forces of darkness, then I'm telling you something. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.